You have your Bibles with you. You can. I'm going to be giving a few verses out this morning, but I want to speak on a subject quickly here before we move into the baptismal service on this subject, and that is fulfilling all righteousness. Fulfilling all righteousness. Now, today, I'm going to emphasize some things concerning water baptism, and many of you, if you've especially been coming for some time, you know a lot of the illustrations I use or the symbolism that's involved in water baptism, why we believe it's important. It's a sign to the world that a person's life has been changed, and as they go down under the waters of baptism, it's like the old life is dead. And it's like you're buried in the ground, and then as you come up out of the waters of baptism, it signifies that you have the new self, the new life of Christ in you, of the resurrected Christ. So we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in water baptism. That's a very powerful illustration. And so water baptism is important for that, and it's a sign of that. Also, for the believer, it says something to the believer. Not only are we obeying a command of Christ, who said that we are to go into all the nations and preach the gospel and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We do that in obedience to that command. So it's not only obedience, but there's something about actually following through on that. It's not just a routine thing. That is, it's not just a rite that we just do it in a perfunctory way, but it's something we do because Jesus said we ought to do it. And so when we do it, we are obeying the command of Christ, and there's something wonderful about that. You feel the blessing of God when you're in tune with what He wants you to do. It's just one of those things that when you have an obligation, a responsibility, and you follow through on it, there's something special about that. And you just feel great about it. And in a spiritual realm, there's something that happens when a person falls through. And then, so there's a personal blessing the person receives, as well as an outward witness to the world. Look, my life has changed. I'm not the same person. I'm a new person. And baptism signifies that. Many in the past have, and there are some groups that still use this as kind of the entrance into the church, their particular expression of the church. That is, if you want to be a member of a certain church, sometimes they'll use water baptism. They'll say, well, you can be a member, but when you're baptized in water, then all of a sudden, then that's the point at which you become a member of the church. Because a lot of people realize how important this rite of baptism is. It's not something to be taken lightly. So when we go to the Word of God, I wanted to take a look at this idea of what was Christ's attitude towards water baptism. One of the main objectives of Christ in His earthly ministry was to bring to completion the work He set out to do. There was a sense of urgency behind this. Think of the incident when He healed the blind man. Remember, there's a blind man came and he took and he spit on the ground. He made some mud. Remember, and he put it on the blind man's eyes. And in that whole discourse, when there were people around him that were observing this whole scene. They were wondering what was going to happen when he was faced with a blind man. In John, the 9th chapter, and the 4th verse, in relation to that, while this is going on, they were asking him questions about what he was doing and his purpose. And he said this, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. There was a sense of urgency in the life of Christ that He had to follow through with all the things that the Father wanted Him to do. He had to get busy. He had to do it. He had to get it done. This idea of completing it. And so, first thing I'd like to look at is the importance of water baptism to Christ. You know, John was baptizing in the River Jordan, and there were many coming to him, and the baptism there was one of repentance. John was baptizing to bring people to acknowledge the need for repentance, that you need to change from the ways that you are change, to live in your life a different way. It was a baptism of repentance. In Matthew, the third chapter, in verse 13 and following, it says, when Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John. Now, remember, John's baptizing these people. It's baptism of repentance. He comes to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Isn't that interesting that John the Baptist, the one who was preaching repentance, and then he turns around and he says to Christ, but I have need. I still have need. It's as if that John, even though he was baptizing people, he still saw himself as a man in need. And he looks at Christ and he says, if anybody's going to be baptized, you're the one who should be doing the baptism. Here's the interesting thing. If you want to know the Lord's attitude towards water baptisms, you can take it right back to this incident, because this is what he says. In verse 15, he says this, but Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way, notice this phrase, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. What was on Christ's mind? What was in his heart at that time when he saw John the Baptist baptizing in the Jordan? All these people were coming. They felt guilt in their life. They felt that they had to repent of their ways. They felt like they had to start living lives that were holier. They wanted to live according to the law. They wanted to live according to God's law. All this was going on. That's the background. And then Jesus comes in the midst of all this. And who is he? He's the Son of God. He's God of very God. He came from the Father. He lived a sinless life. You say, did Jesus need to be baptized? One might say, well, he doesn't need to be baptized. He's the Messiah. We need to be baptized. We have a need, but he doesn't need to be baptized. He's already made it. You know, there are some people in the world like that today. You know, they're preaching and teaching certain ways to get to perfection so that you don't have, you know, you kind of make it after a while. And instead of you being the needy one, you've got all your problems resolved, and now you're out there teaching others to see how they can get their problems resolved. And people might turn to someone and will say, whoa, listen to this fellow over here. He's got the message. He's got the answer. And we have all these gurus, and we have these demigods, so to speak, these people out there. And we have some who claim to be God who are out there. And the idea is that they've reached their perfection. The truly perfect one comes along, and what happens? Does he take over? Does he move John aside? Okay, John, I'm here now. You're giving a baptism of repentance, but guess what? I'm going to give a water baptism of salvation. You just move alongside here. Let me take over. He didn't do that at all. The amazing thing is that the Son of God, as he comes, walks along towards the River Jordan, and John sees him coming, John protests. And then he doesn't let him get any further. And that's a good thing, you know. When someone's trying to tell you to do something and you know it's not the will of God, you ought to just stop them right there in their tracks. Don't let them go on. Don't let them, butter you up. Don't let them pour all kinds of adulatory praise on you, because that's going to get, you can get to your spirit, and you might start believing what they're saying. You're such a great guy, you're such a great person, and all this, and you might get to believe in it after a while. Listen, none of us are that great. We're only great because of Jesus. That's the bottom line, okay? You're only a great person because of what Jesus has done in your life. And when you come to that understanding, think of the Son of God come along, and all these people are feeling that unworthiness, and then they feel, I'm going to go and be baptized in the River Jordan by John, and when I come up out of those waters, it symbolizes everybody else. I'm going to do my best, try to do whatever I can to live my life the way God would want me to live it. And here comes Jesus, the Son of God, and John right away, he's protesting, but Jesus doesn't let him go very far. He said, listen, permit it at this time, because it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. There was something about the rite of water baptism. God the Father wanted Jesus, the Son of God, to be baptized in water. The one who didn't, you say, he didn't really need it. But in a sense, he did need it, because God the Father wanted it to be done. So what was Jesus' attitude? Jesus said it's important. I've had people say, well, you know, Pastor, water baptism isn't that really that important, because, you know, you're not saved by water baptism. Well, that's true. It doesn't save you. You're saved by the grace of God. Because Water baptism is a work. It's an act of works. And we're not saved by works. We're saved by the grace of God through faith. But it's still, just because we're not saved by it doesn't mean it's not important. There are a lot of things that we're not saved by that are still important to God. And this received a very central focus in the life of Christ. Well, Jesus thought it was very important. If you turn to the Apostle Peter in his sermon, in Acts you find it on the day of Pentecost, you find it in Acts the second chapter in verse 38. The Apostle Peter is preaching Christ to the crowd. Now remember, this is a crowd, they didn't know anything about theology or anything like that with respect to Christ. They were people that had come into Jerusalem, they were there for the feast days, and the holidays, the Passover, all that was going on, and they were there, there was a festival atmosphere, and here's this commotion going on. It sounded like it in this coming from this room. They had open windows there, and they heard this sound coming and all this, and it sounded like just a commotion, because it was all everybody talking, but they were in different languages. So you might pick out your language, your native tongue, you could hear it, and you might know a little bit of the native language there in Jerusalem. You might know a little bit Hebrew, you could hear that, perhaps. Maybe you knew a little Greek or whatever. But there were all these other languages. You didn't know what was going on. So you're trying to pick out what's being said in the middle of it all. You're hearing the language that you understood, but there are others around you who are hearing in their language. They're hearing some of the other languages you don't understand. It just sounded like something that was going on. What in the world is this? And in that's the backdrop for all this. Now, Peter then stands, and we know that he oftentimes would take the position of, if anyone was going to do it, Peter was going to do it. He was one who was going to get the job done. You know, we sometimes say he was impetuous. I don't know if he was impetuous, but he certainly was bold, that's for sure. And he stood, and on that occasion, and all the people, you know, they're starting to gather around outside, wondering what in the world is going on. Maybe there's a party we're missing up there. What's going on? And Peter preaches that great sermon on the Pentecost. But the interesting thing is, Peter says this. In the 38th verse, he says, "And Peter said to them, repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He said, listen, what's going on up there? What's going on in this room up that you're hearing all the, you think it's commotion? Something wonderful is happening. It's from God, and it's available to you. But first of all, what do you have to do? You got to repent. Really? Yeah, repent. And then what? Well, there's something else here. You need to be baptized also. You need to be baptized. And the reason why he emphasized that was because, again, that was something special that spoke to everyone and said, listen, I am aligning myself with God and with Jesus Christ, and now my life is going to be different. I ask you this morning, for those of you who have been baptized in water, from the day you were baptized in water, was your life different? I hope it was. I hope so. Some people, now, baptism in water doesn't guarantee that you're always going to be on the straight and narrow, because you still have to exercise your will and you have to do what's right. And there's some people who, you know, they go down into the waters and they come up out of the waters of baptism. If they haven't made a commitment to Jesus Christ, they're still a sinner. The rite of baptism isn't going to do anything to you that change the fact of you being a sinner unless you've taken care of the issue before you're baptized. So you need to repent. That's why he says, repent, then be baptized. You repent. What does that mean? You turn away from. You do a 180. You're walking in one direction. You turn around. You go in the other direction. I used to go this direction all the time. But now that I know God, he told me, that's not the way to get to heaven. That's the wrong route. That's going somewhere. There's a destination, but that's not where I want to go. I want to head towards heaven. So I turn about 180 degrees and I walk in the opposite direction. Now I'm walking with God and I'm walking towards heaven. From the time you're baptized, that ought to be your goal. That ought to be where you're headed. Baptism signifies that you've changed direction. And so in his sermon, he says, You ought to repent and be baptized. Well, you can look at Paul also, because Paul has something to say about water baptism. In Acts the 19th chapter, if you go back to 19th chapter, of Acts and verse 1. It says, "And it came about while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples, and he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' They said, 'No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what were you baptized?' And they said," get this, "into John's baptism." Now, you know what John's baptism was, right? So these were people who were trying to do what was right, because John's baptism indicated that the people who were baptized by John, they really sincerely wanted to do what was right. It's a baptism of repentance. They were trying to live their lives the right way. And that's all they knew of John. So they did all that they knew. They heard that they ought to be baptized, and so they were baptized into John's baptism. And then Paul says, John, and he explains what went on. He said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus." He said, he baptized with repentance, that is, in Jesus. So what Paul does, he says, John essentially was pointing towards Christ. And then in the fifth verse of Acts 19, "And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." The important thing is, water baptism followed the believer's acceptance of Jesus Christ. Acceptance of Jesus Christ. Think of what Paul said to the Philippians. He said this. He said, "I thank my God," in the Philippians 1, verses 3 and following, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." You know, the important thing is here is this idea of completion, completing. Jesus wanted to complete. He wanted to fulfill all righteousness. He wanted to complete the work that God had given him to do. And then you see later on in the teaching of the apostle, when he's thinking, referring to the Philippians, you see a similar theme here. He's saying, look, God began something in you. There's a work God has begun in you. And guess what? It doesn't stop there. God has begun a good work in you so that what? It'll come to completion. The same attitude that Jesus had in his heart, that he received from the Father, that attitude, "I'm sent here for a specific purpose. I'm going to do my ministry and my mission. I'm going to fill it. I'm going to complete it to the end." That's what caused him to be baptized in the River Jordan. He said, I want to fulfill all righteousness. This is a righteous thing to do. I don't want to leave anything out. I need to be here with these people." You mean with all these reprobates who are now turning their lives over, and they're doing it by signifying, you know, they want to change their life, and they're being baptized in water. You're going to identify with that? Listen, I am here with all of them because I want to fulfill all righteousness. A person needs to have a repentant heart when they come to God. And then if they're truly repentant, they need to be baptized to illustrate what's gone on inside. It's an outer expression of an inner reality. That's what water baptism is. It's showing to the world what's happened in one's life. And Paul to the Philippians, when he writes to them, and he's thinking of their lives and that they've been living for God, He says, "I've been praying for you in view of all your participation in the gospel from the first day until now." He's been observing the life that they are living in God. He's seen, I'm seeing it all from the day, first day until now, and I am confident of this thing. The Philippians, he says this, "The one who began a good work in you will perfect it." It's going to bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. He's going to perfect it in the day of Christ Jesus. Say, why do we need to be baptized in water? Well, not to be saved necessarily, but if you are saved, you'll want to be baptized in water. Why? Because you want to fulfill all righteousness. That's part of the completion process. You say, well, can I be saved and not be baptized? Well, yeah, because you're saved by grace. But if you want to be obedient to the Lord, if you want to completely fulfill what he's asked us to do, then that's going to be a part of your life. That's going to be a part of your experience. You are going to say, you know what? Just as Jesus walked down the shores there of the Jordan and said to John the Baptist, "I need to be baptized. You know, I need to say to the Lord, you know what, Lord? I need to be baptized." Why? You are my example. You said it was important to express something to the world and to others of what's happened in my life. And God, because I love you and because you felt it was important to complete all righteousness, that's a part of your plan, and that's for me too. Then I see myself in need, and God, I need to be baptized in water. I need to give that expression to the world, just like you did. Jesus didn't have to, but he did. He did. Is it important? Of course it's important. Why? Because when you're baptized in water, you're fulfilling all the righteousness of God. And you're identifying with Jesus, the life of Jesus. And our prayer is always, Lord, let your life be seen in me. Let others see you in what they see in me. And Jesus, if it's important to you, it's important to me. Fulfilling all righteousness. And that's part of what it's all about, being baptized in water. And today, we're going to have a wonderful time. In a little bit, we're going to make our way by the waters of baptism. And we're going to welcome and rejoice and celebrate with those who are saying, God, this is important in my life. I need to get this done because you did it. And I willingly now follow you in the waters of baptism. I want the world to know that I'm a different person because of what you did in my life. Would you bow in prayer? Jesus, we need your spirit in us. Take away pride and self-consciousness and all these things that might keep us from being obedient to you. You said we ought to do this. You said it's important. And you led the way for all believers. From that time on, everyone who was to receive you as their personal Savior, the command was, be baptized. Be baptized. Repent and be baptized. From that day on, it became the model for the church. And Lord, that's why we baptize in water, because you set the example, because it's good, it's right, it's a public testimony to others. It kind of signals to the world that we're beginning a new life, and it's based not on our accomplishments, it's based on you and what you do. And so, Lord, I just pray today, these baptismal candidates that are going to follow you in obedience, they're going to be baptized in water. Lord, may this be a glorious experience for them. The awareness of knowing that they're being obedient to the command of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them in a very special way. And may all of us be reminded of the importance for all of us to fulfill all righteousness as you have instructed in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I feel like getting baptized all over again. I've had people tell me that. You know, that's a funny thing. I've had people by the side, you know, when I'm baptized, and they'll come up to me and say afterwards, oh, Pastor, I'd like to be baptized again. It felt so good. You know, it's just something wonderful when you see people saying, oh, I want to serve God. I want to serve Jesus. And so I want to be baptized more. And so that's a wonderful thing. Well, okay. All right, let's make our way out there. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. Stay with us if you can for the church picnic.
On my own, now that I am seen.